Now today we continue with learning some lessons from the Gospel according to Luke. I want to read a little passage today from the 12th chapter. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12. Commencing to read at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach thy presence, desiring first of all to give thee thanks for thy kindness to us, and for every blessing that we receive from thy bountiful hand. But we cry to thee again today, beseeching thee, that thy blessing may rest upon every listener to this broadcast, and every home circle that's represented by those who listen. O God, grant unto us these days a measure of spiritual revival, that men and women will begin to take an interest in eternal things. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now perhaps by this time, if you've been listening to our broadcast day by day, you've realized that in going through some of these incidents from the Gospel according to Luke, that the writer comes right down to earth. He touches the very vitals of the way in which people live. Now, today, in taking this little section from chapter 12, I would like to give this title to it, The Tragedy of False Values. The tragedy of false values. It's a very, very difficult thing at times to get people to assess things correctly. Perhaps when we're younger, we place values upon certain things, and later on in life, we look at these things again, and we consider them of no value whatsoever. Wouldn't it be nice in life when we're young, if someone could take us aside and explain to us the things of life that are of real value? You must be able then to get these things correctly assessed. You know, away back in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs were the writings of the wise man, here is one of the expressions of wisdom from the wise man. He said, The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. That's taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. Now you've got the picture, haven't you? In the old days, people had walled cities. And when the enemy approached them, they could shut the gates, they could keep inside the walled city, and perhaps they could even fight their enemy from the walls. They could fire their arrows at them and fire their stones at them. And so as long as they had a walled city, a strong city, with a high wall around it, they considered they were safe. Now, the writer takes that picture and he applies it to a man who places his confidence in his wealth. He says, now look at that rich man. That rich man thinks that his wealth is his strong city. That is, he can retreat into the center, as it were, of his wealth and believe that his wealth will protect him. His wealth is going to be like a high wall around him. Ah, but says the wise man, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and is a high wall in his own conceit. That's what he thinks. But it doesn't prove to be that. Now, one of the most tragic things in the world is how the human mind can lose its sense of proportion, and also its ability to put first things first. Now, in this particular chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we have the record of how the Savior had just been discussing the deepest and holiest matters, and was perhaps still in the act of doing so, when someone from amongst the multitude, without giving any sign that he had paid any attention to the words of the Lord, asked him to deal with a purely earthly affair. As a result of the question of this materialist, the Lord told the incident of this rich fool. And in doing so, the Lord warns against all covetousness, because an abundance of earthly things cannot bring happiness into the life, or rest to the soul, or peace to the mind, so that true life does not consist in the possession of even an abundance of goods. Plain words, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesseth. After all, a man may possess a great amount of this world's goods, but remember this, he can't take any of them with him. I told a friend of mine on one occasion who had won some money in a lottery. I told him, I said, look, remember this, all the money you have won can never buy you happiness, and neither can it buy you health. Or it may take you to a lot of places of pleasure, but pleasure is not happiness. And it may be able to purchase an awful lot of medicine for you, but medicine doesn't mean health. You cannot buy happiness, and you cannot buy health with gold. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuked this man when he said, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Here was a man who had a socialistic mind. He was a man who said, what my brother has got ought to be divided with me. Share and share alike. Equality for all. That's what he wanted. Now, we are not told here the circumstances under which this situation had arisen. That is, the situation as to his brother having more than he had. It's obvious that someone had died and left an inheritance. He was a man who thought he was entitled to the share of it. Perhaps he thought he ought to have half of it. And he's saying to the Lord, Lord, will you speak to my brother and tell him to divide the inheritance with me? You know, this teaches me a lesson. There are so many people who want their friends corrected. They want their brother to be corrected. They want the other man to be corrected. someone to tell the other man what he should do. But they don't want the message to be directed to them. It's always the other man who's wrong. And that's what it seems here. This fellow stood up. He said, "Master, speak to my brother. Tell him to divide the inheritance with me." The Lord Jesus simply looked at the man and he says, "Tell me this, sir. Who made me a judge or a divider over you?" In plain words, why do you call me master? Am I your master? Have you made me the judge in your life? If so, then here's what I'm going to tell you first. Take heed. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now might I say this, that here is a message that gets home to all our hearts. It seems to me that men and women today are anxious to possess things. They seem to imagine that if they can possess certain things, that will bring happiness. So many young folks today are just anxious for the day when they'll be old enough to take the driver's test, pass the test, and be able to drive. Then they'll demand from Dad the use of the keys to drive the car. They may even go further than that. They may want the car for themselves, thinking that if they possess the car and the ability to drive, they've made it in life. But they haven't. A man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, the Lord there is warning against covetousness. Beware of covetousness. Now, let me remind all my listeners today that covetousness is a sin. Now, you perhaps have never thought of it like this, but remember, to be covetous is sinful. We're not supposed to covet what another man possesses. We're not supposed to covet what belongs to someone else. So, in order to prove this point, the Lord Jesus tells the parable. This parable is commonly referred to as the parable of the rich fool. You see, money doesn't bring wisdom. I've already said that gold cannot buy happiness, and gold cannot buy health. Neither can it buy wisdom. Or it may buy an awful lot of knowledge, but knowledge need not necessarily be wisdom. However, let us note some of the things connected with this man as the Lord spoke of him. He said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now the first thing we've got to note about this man is this. He was a successful man. Take note then of his success. It's not everybody who's a success in life. In fact, I've often thought, I may be wrong, but I've often thought there are more people who are failures in life than what we have of those who can be marked by success. Very few people succeed in reaching the point that they would desire to reach. But here was a man who was successful. First of all, his success was honorable, for it distinctly says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Here was the cultivation of the land. The land doesn't bring forth plentifully unless there's been a lot of work put in. And so this man's success was honorable. You must agree with me, there's a lot of people who have acquired riches and they did not acquire them in an honorable way. Everybody knows that. It becomes public knowledge of some men who have acquired much of their fortunes in a dishonorable way. Here was a man who was honorable. I suggest he was a hard-working man, up early in the morning at sunrise, perhaps working till sundown, in order to cultivate his land. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. It was justifiable. No one could point the finger at this man for being rich. The fact of the matter is he had worked hard to get it. course, let me remind you again of something I've said over and over again during my broadcasts over these past years. Riches in themselves are not a crime, and poverty is not a credit. Nevertheless, it's how we get it that counts, and how we use it. God will hold us accountable for that. But this man was successful. His success was honorable. His success was justifiable. Then there came the time for taking inventory. Call it his stock-taking. Now, at the time of his stock-taking, I want you to notice this. Verse 17 of our passage says, "And he thought within himself, saying..." Now, he was a man who spoke to himself. There's nothing wrong, of course, with getting down with yourself and reasoning and thinking things through. But there comes a time when we've got to set up the right standard. We've got to think not according to our own thoughts. We should think things through according to God's thoughts and God's standards. Now watch. This man began by reckoning the past. He thought of the past. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, because I have nowhere to bestow my fruits?" And he said, "This will I do." Calculating the past, he says, "I've got a lot of goods, much fruit." He was calculating the present, saying, "What shall I do?" And then he was planning the future, and he said, "This will I do." Now pause there a moment, my friend. Have you ever taken time to put yourself in the same position as this man? Have you ever stopped to reckon the past? How does your past look? Now the Bible says God requires that which is past. How does your past look? Then what about the present? What are you calculating at the present time? How are things with you? What about the future, planning the future? "This shall I do." Now, I want you to notice what he says as he's planning the future. He speaks of his fruits. He said, "This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul," and so on. You see, it's all me and mine and my and I. Here's a man who is completely obsessed with himself and his possessions. Now watch. He credits his success to his own efforts, but no mention of the blessings of God. Now, I ask you in all fairness, if this man plowed and worked hard, prepared his fields and sowed his grain, could he make any of it grow? Isn't it true he must depend on a higher hand, he must depend on God, in order to send the rain and the sunshine, in order to make the seed grow and produce the harvest? This man didn't seem to think that God was in it at all. He's simply speaking of himself. "I have nowhere to bestow my fruits. This will I do. I will pull down my barns," and so on. You see, it's all of what he has done and what he is going to do. He credits his success to his own efforts, but no mention of the blessings from God. It's a lot of people like that today. They think that all that they are and have is due to their own efforts. My friend, there's one thing you can never do. You can't save yourself. You can't provide salvation for yourself. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for the soul. And even if you plan, remember this, what you plan to do tomorrow, you've got to say, "If the Lord will." You and I can't promise that we'll be here tomorrow. But notice, here is a man, and he's going to say, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy knees, eat, drink, and be merry." Not a mention made of God. Here's a man, he's going to provide for the body, but no provision for the soul. Plain words, he's going to feed his body and starve the soul. Again, remember that all those goods, all the things that he's going to store up in his storehouses, these are only things for time. He's not going to be able to take any of it with him into eternity. You cannot take your gold or your silver or your bank account. You cannot take these things, my friend, beyond the grave. When you die, you'll leave them all behind you. We came into this world with nothing, and we'll go out the same way with nothing. We can't take anything with us. He is a man who provides for time, but forgets eternity. Remember the title I gave to this passage when we started. I called it The Tragedy of False Values. It's an awful business when people only value things in the light of time and place no value upon the things of eternity. It's bad business when a person only thinks of things, things for the body, and provides nothing for the soul. But while he left God out of all his reckoning, God broke in. We've looked at the man's success. That was honorable, justifiable. We've looked at his day when he took stock, his stock-taking. But all he had here in trying to keep his books. Notice God broke into his life. We have his summons. It was that night God spoke to him. God didn't wait till the next day. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let me ask you, my friend, how much have you deposited in God's bank? I'm not asking how much you've deposited in the banks around here. You may be well gathered. You may be a prosperous business person. You may have done well. That's good. But let me ask you, what are you doing about your soul? What are you doing about eternal things? One day God broke into his life, and one day God's going to break into your life and break into mine. He reached the point where God sent the summons. This summons was unexpected and found him unprepared. He's saying, oh, I've many years before me now. I've got much goods laid up for many years. God said, no, you're a foolish man. It's this night. You have estimated for years for your body. God says, what about your soul? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. He was a man who had to go when the summons came. He had to go with fruits ungathered. He had to go with his harvest unreaped. He had to go with his barns unbuilt. He had to go with his soul unsaved. A man with a lost name, we don't know his name. A man with a lost world, he lost all that he had. A man with a lost heaven, he missed heaven. A man with a lost soul. You know, there was a poet who once said, but fools are fools wherever you go. Experience cannot reach them. The only thing they'll ever learn, sure death itself must teach them. That was an awful indictment. And I tell you this, the man that wrote that spent many years in foolishness. I picked up something recently. It said, at length, my friends, the feast of life is o'er. I've ate sufficient, and I'll drink no more. The night is come. I've spent a jovial day. 'Tis time to part, but oh, what is to pay? You see how dark and dismal it is when a foolish man comes to the end of life's journey. Oh, what a difference, my friend, if you know the Savior, if you'll trust Him, if you know Him. You can gladly leave this scene behind, saying with the apostle of old, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Get your values right, my friend. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.